We're doing our class on Pirkei Avot in the Jewish home. So we're doing Pirkei Avot with the Jewish home, and we're up to the first chapter, the sixth Mishnah. You recall Yoshua ben Prachya had that infamous student Yeshu, right? Yoshua ben Prachya and Nitai al-Beli. In the Jerusalem Talmud, there's a question, who was the Nasi and who was the Av Beis Din? So they, Kiblu Mehem, they received their tradition from Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer. And we were in the middle of learning the Rambam on this Mishnah and seeing how it applies in the Jewish home. Yoshua ben Prachya said, Asei lecharav, create for yourself a teacher. And here we went into Rashi and the Rambam and the importance in a Jewish home to have an external source for halacha. An external rabbi who we ask our questions to, and someone who both the husband and wife respect and will go with when they're Mekel and when they're Machmir. We discussed the importance of a Rav who understands you and your history and your background and your home. So that we discussed last week. And we began discussing Uknei Lecha Chaver, acquire a friend. And here we started learning the Rambam. We'll revisit the Rambam. So on the first level, I do want to take this maybe a little bit to the dating scene. Very often people ask, how do I know if this is the right one? And the first thing you want to find is a friend. You want to find someone who you want to spend time with. When people tell me, I was at a wedding and I saw this girl or I saw this guy and I really like them, and I ask, how long of a conversation did you have? And the person says, we haven't spoken yet. So then you don't like anything about the person other than their looks. The first thing about finding a partner is, after dating, we're supposed to have a relationship that this is my friend. This is someone who I want should continue to be my friend. I don't want to wake up one morning and not be with this person. Now, in all reality, after you're married, you'll have many times where you want to wake up and not be with this person. Be prepared for that. That's part of married life. But at least when you're dating, you should feel like, I want to be with this person forever. We discussed once that people think that love and hate are antithetical, and they're not. You can love and hate the same person at the same time. And we discussed the gra. That's what we say at night times. Avat olam, an eternal love. Right? That we speak about in the times of darkness in our relationship, there has to be a basis of avat olam. That basis always has to be there. Then there's avat rabba. There are times where the relationship goes up. There are times the relationship goes down. Nothing's constant. But one of the key elements we're looking for is a friend. And sometimes people get confused and they smother one another in a relationship. Friendship does not mean we lose our identity. That's not friendship. Rav Kook Zatzal wrote that if Hashem's intention was that man and woman would be together, then why did Hashem make it so that man is born alone and woman is born alone, and then they have to search out one another when they reach a certain age, and then they marry and build a home together? Wouldn't it have been better for them to grow up in the same house and build their whole lives together? And Rav Kook said that it's like a painter. When you want to draw a nice picture, you take the most vibrant colors. And then each color has its strength. You put them together, you can make a nice picture. As we develop through our youth and then teenage years before we get married, we're developing the vibrant colors of our personality. And it's only after we've developed our personality, without this feeling that I have to impress someone else or I have to match myself to someone else, it's only then that we can put together those vibrant colors and create the beautiful painting of marriage. And so when we get married, it's important that on many levels we are concentric circles. It must be that in most areas of life we have the same aspirations, we have the same values, we have the same perspective. That's important. You're dating someone who has a different perspective than you on life, that can be problematic. Sometimes people take this too far. She wants to live one block up, and I want to live one block down. We can't get married, right? She wants to send the kids to the Beis Yaakov on this side of town, and I want to send the Beis Yaakov on the other side of town. So that's obviously not the way to go. But when we speak about our values and our perspective on life, people sometimes ask, I'm dating a girl who doesn't want to cover her hair. And I say, I'm not so interested about whether she wants to cover her hair. I'm interested in how she decides which mitzvot she'll keep and which she doesn't. And I'm interested in knowing whether you decide the same way she does. Because after you get married, you're going to have to deal together. And if one day she says, I know we keep kosher, but today I want to go to McDonald's, it's not going to work. Unless, of course, that's who you are too. So the question when we're looking for a friend is we have to be very similar. We have to have similar aspirations, perspectives, values, as we will discuss next week. So the first level is friendship. But although friendship means that we have to share many things, we shouldn't smother one another. You know, there's supposed to be a lock on the bathroom door. There are places where we do keep our private lives. I think it's correct that people should have open emails. My wife has the password to my email. I told you guys the story, right?
Yeah, you told us.
Yeah? Right? You remember.
The formula for getting a shidduch.
Right? So, right? It's important. It's important that in certain areas we share, but in certain areas we maintain our autonomy. People sometimes, after they get married, they have time off, they don't have a job, they're in between jobs, they spend time at home. And they think, if we match, then it's going to work. No, it won't. Marriage works best when you're out of the house, at least 9 to 5, and maybe a little bit more. You can't be together that much. Even though I always say at night, shut the cell phone, shut the internet. Right. Very often people are surprised. They think if we match, then we could spend all day together. Maybe, and maybe not. How come is it that the most filings for divorce happen in this country on Sunday and in the United States on Monday? Because people spent the weekend together. It's a fact. Marriages work best when we have limited time together. Even best friends. If best friends who are men can have an easier time sitting together. Because we can sit next to one another and go, huh? Uh-huh. And we're okay. But suddenly, if there's a woman there, she wants to say so many more words. And then you're like, it's a little bit flabbergasting. And two women can really spend a lot of time together. I was walking with my wife the other night, and I said that it's pretty shocking to see two men walk together and two women walk together. Men walk together, they don't say a word. They're walking. Women walk together, they're both talking at the same time. But the friendship that we're developing is a great friendship if we can respect our differences and we give one another space. And men need the space more than women do, but we need the space. So friendship doesn't mean that we can spend all day and all night together. We should be together in the evenings, and we should be apart during the day. The pasuk says, Yetze Adam Nefa'olo. Man leaves to do his duties. Man leaves the house. People who try to work from home very often find that it puts an unnecessary strain on their marriage. I recommend you make it clear from the onset that when you're at work, your cell phone's off. You shouldn't be sitting at work SMSing your wife every minute. You shouldn't be sitting at work chatting every minute with your wife. It's not good for the marriage. It's not fair to the employer. You belong at work, focusing on your work. You have a lunch break. Go call home. Ask your wife how she's doing. Send her an SMS. When you're working, you should be focused on your work. And this is one of those things that if you get into the habit from the beginning, then that's the norm. That's the norm in the house, yeah. We're in touch at night. We're in touch at some point during the day. And the rest of the time, we're not. And obviously, if it's necessary, a woman's in her 9th month, so she can call you. But what people do today, that they walk into work, they open their chat, their wife is there all day, and they're chatting half the time they're at work. It's unethical. and it's not healthy for the marriage. The Mishnah says, Knei lecha chaver. So we were exploring the Rambam. the Rambam had given us many insights into friendship. First, the Rambam said, acquiring a friend means I am going to try to work on this person's frame of reference. Our first mistake in all friendship is that the famous Peanuts cartoon, what's the name of the girl in Peanuts? Lucy? Lucy, and what's the guy's name? Charlie, right? So Lucy gives Charlie Brown a lefty mitt and for his birthday, and he says, but I'm a righty. And she says, right, but I'm a lefty. And when my birthday comes, you'll have a mitt to give me. But we do that. We give gifts on our terms. We try to befriend on our terms. And the Rambam said, the reason it's called Knei lecha chaver, acquire friend, is because I have to invest and do it on their terms. Can you sit down and have a conversation for 45 minutes about nothing? Yeah. Can you come home and sit down and I have to tell you what happened today. It was amazing. The kids wouldn't sit down for a minute. And you hear a conversation and you're trying to understand, what's the point? Well, no, the point is we should talk. So it's not, we're not built for that, us men. But you want to give on their terms? Person called me up, his wife is in the hospital and she's not capable of doing anything. She's bedridden. So he says, what do I do? I said, are the kids taken care of? Yeah. Do you have meals taken care of? Yeah. And is your wife taken care of medically? Yes. And what else am I supposed to do? Well, the halacha says that if someone's sick, you're supposed to ensure that their spirits are up. So make sure she has nice music, make sure the room is aired out properly, make sure you bring balloons, and make sure you can sit down next to her and stroke her hand for 25 minutes minimum a day, maybe 45 minutes a day. And he looks at me and says, what? I said, yeah. It's not the male way of thinking, but we said to acquire a friend is to work the system the way the other person needs it. That's why the Rambam says it's called acquiring. I'm doing things in accordance with their needs. Obviously, it goes the other way, but we're focusing on our responsibilities. We continue in the Rambam. The Rambam says when you acquire a friend, part of acquiring a friend is that we both become better people from the relationship. We both become better people from the relationship. So some people look for a friend. I had a friend, good friend, who told me, I want my wife to kick me out of bed and send me to Minyan in the morning. He said, I don't go, but if she'll send me, then I'll go. I never thought that was right. But I never said anything, you know, to each his own. It's his business. But there are areas where, if we're honest, we recognize that that's our spouse's strength and our weakness. How often does a father come in and say, the kids are going to school today, no more games? But maybe the wife is right, and the kids should get away with taking a day off. How often does a husband come in and say, it's not right, we're not doing it? We had in this past week's parasha, On Ben Pelet says, I promised them and I'm going to be there for Korach and my buddies. I told them I'm with them. And his wife says, I'm going to help you get out of it. So she has a strength he doesn't have. But his strength is his intelligence to listen to her. I was once in shul when the psychologist, a person who davened with us, he's a psychologist, he walked over to a man and he said to him, I admire you for not destroying the children your wife has built. He said it as a joke. And the guy said back to him, don't take it for granted. That also takes skill. He says, you know, it's not so simple not to destroy what someone else built. Part of what we're trying to build is to grow from one another. In order to grow, I have to be open to seeing the other's strength and not just to compete with them. And sometimes where we're so into our mindset, we don't see it. Now, obviously this goes two-directional, but Rambam says, a friend is someone who's going to be your partner for growth. The Rambam says friendship is something that sometimes you find the friend isn't interested in the friendship with you. That also happens in marriage. People think you enter marriage so you always want to be with the other person and they always want to be with you. No. If you're smart, you don't tell your spouse that. And even though she'll ask you about 500 times, do you love me? You'll always say yes. Even though sometimes you might not feel that way. And if you ever said no, then you're going to have...
That's the end of marriage.
It's not the end of the marriage, but you're going to have to work really hard to get back up there. The Rambam says sometimes you find that in friendship, he says that's why it's called acquiring a friend. Because sometimes you find the other person is not interested in being with you. So we're a generation where that's very dangerous because people think they're allowed to get divorced just because they don't want to be with the other party. Didn't used to be that way. But what we should be prepared is that sometimes within a relationship, you don't want to be with that person. And that's something which you have to overcome. It goes in waves. Sometimes they don't want to be with you. And you have to find out how to overcome that. That does not mean the marriage is doomed. Not at all. Part of friendship is you have ups and you have downs. And the Rambam says part of friendship is you acquire friendship. That means that when there are downs, I have to invest in it. Where do we find downs? Downs can come because we get tired of one another. Usually that happens if the average couple gets married at around 24, 25. So by age 32, the husband is usually sick and tired of his wife. That's the cycle. There's disenchantment, which usually kicks in about 2 to 3 years after marriage. And it hits big time, age-wise, in the age of 30s. For men, not for women. Women run a different rhythm. Okay, you deal. Today, people think, if I'm disenchanted, so why should I continue with this? No, it doesn't work that way. You invest and you build. There's another time that people have great hardships in their marriage, and that is when life throws hardships at them. Sometimes it can be a financial challenge. Sometimes it could be a medical challenge. And that's where we have to stand up to the challenge. Whenever life has thrown a challenge at us, we have a choice. Either in contending with the hardship, we will grow closer together, or we will grow further apart. If nature has its course, we will grow further apart. Many a marriage has been destroyed because of financial hardship, because of a lost relative, because of a medical hardship, because of other hardships. Life has all kinds of hardships it can throw at us. It's a choice, and the first step is to acknowledge the challenge and make that choice. Both parties have to make the choice. After you've made that choice, you have a lot of time to work on it. But you can, and you'll see couples that have grown closer together because of their hardships. You'll see couples that get divorced. As you go through life, you will see this as a recurring theme. Making the choice isn't enough. It's a choice you make every single day. And it means that when your spouse boils over and says some nasty things to you, you tell yourself, life is really hard right now, and I'm going to swallow that and move forward, even though it wasn't so nice of them to say it. What's the natural response? Oh, well, you said that. I have a thing or two to tell you. Or another classical male response is you go into your shell. And now we become inaccessible. Not that females don't do this, they do that too. Suddenly there's no connection. No, person's hurt, and a person has to say, okay, I'm going to overcome that, and I'm going to swallow that, and I'm not going to say it's right. It was wrong of the other person to say it. Okay, and we move forward. Choice we have to make. Do I want to acquire the friendship? Marriage, the work on marriage begins the day you got married. People think that there's either a marriage that works or doesn't. And if it works, then once you got married, everything is smooth sailing. The exact opposite. There's no marriage that works unless you work at it. And the day you start working is the day you got married, or maybe the day you got engaged. And you keep working. And in order for marriage to work, you got to work at it every day. And the days you don't work at it, well, the days you let it go smooth sailing, where you make that crack at your wife's expense, or she asks you the question, do you love me? And you say, I'll get back to you later on that. Sounds funny, right? But she's going to walk around all day not feeling so happy. So that's that work. It's avodat amidot. Acquire a friend. The Rambam says, yeah, you're acquiring. You're investing. If you're going to let nature take its course, you'll have explosions and it won't be a fun life. So you acquire. You invest. And you pay the bills. Paying the bills, I mean, you have to pay. What does that mean, to pay? That means a person says, but it's not natural for me to answer this question three times a day. On an average day, she asks me three times, do you really love me? Do you really think I'm beautiful? Am I really dressed nicely? Does this outfit really fit me? Am I getting fat? How many times a day do I have to answer that question? Well, as many times as she asks, or unless, until you convince her. Convince her. Obviously, you haven't convinced her. She asked you if she's getting fat, and you looked at her and said, you're looking good to me. You didn't convince her, right? So she asked again 10 minutes later. Are you going to get annoyed, or are you going to play it her way? Knei lecha chaver. The Rambam says you have to invest if you want to acquire a friendship. He then quotes from Baalei HaMusar, I'm not sure who he's quoting, Kshetohav al tohav al midotecha. Okay, we saw this last week, I'm sorry. Then he quotes Aristotle. Aristotle says there are three types of friendship. There's the friendship of benefit. There are those people who marry and then they live life with this concept that it's mutually beneficial. You will discover very fast that although marriage has its benefits, the cost outweighs the benefits big time. Not financially, emotionally. Marriage takes a lot out of you. And you'd like to think it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's fun. But it's only going to be fun if you're willing to invest. And it requires more investment than you feel like investing. Okay? You come home and you're tired and you got to go to sleep, but there are dishes to do. So you conk out. Come on, I'll do them tomorrow. But you know if you're going to conk out, your wife won't. She's going to go and do those dishes. So you stand up and do the dishes. You know if you conk out, you're both going to wake up early or late and not have time to do those dishes. Do you do the dishes? There are hundreds or thousands of decisions we make on a daily basis where, you know, to me it wouldn't matter, but to her it matters. Do I have to lead my whole life the way she wants me to lead my life? Very often you'll feel that way. You do the dishes, and she says, you know, I prefer if you do them this way. And you say, but they come out clean this way. You know, there are those people who wash dish by dish. They put the soap, and then they wash, and then they put in the dish rack. And then there are those people who put the soap on all the dishes, and then they wash off all the dishes. Does it matter? But it annoys her that you do it this way. And you tell her, but I'm doing the dishes. Leave the kitchen. What difference does it make to you if I do it this way or that way? They come out clean. Legitimate or not legitimate? Who's supposed to give in? You can always argue the case. If you'd give in, we wouldn't have an issue. And she'll say the same thing. Does it matter to you? Just do the dishes my way. If you'd give in, we wouldn't have an issue, right? Who gives in? I'm not such a believer in that. I always say marriage, it takes one to tangle. One. You gotta decide you're willing to be dedicated to it. So people sometimes approach marriage as this is going to be mutually beneficial, and it takes about a decade or two before you start really feeling that way. In the beginning, you feel like, I got to put in so much into this. This really doesn't make sense. This really isn't fun. There are good parts to marriage. But the difficult parts, you say, wait, why? This isn't what I thought I'd get out of it. So if you walk into it thinking this is going to be mutually beneficial, you're going to have a surprise. Then you have, don't get me wrong, it is beneficial, of course. It's good to have someone who makes money. It's good to have someone who does laundry. It's good to have someone who raises kids. All that's true. But the hardships in order to make a good marriage work are so hard that it eclipses all the benefits. If what I went into marriage was for all kinds of benefits, well, I'm going to have a rude awakening. And then there's ohev menucha. It's just pleasant being together. So that's a component that should be there in marriage. And there's ohev ma'ala. So the Rambam says, our first example is like two partners. If marriage is a partnership, then marriage won't last. That's one of the reasons why marriages today don't last. Then you have ohev menucha, which the Rambam breaks into two. He says, sometimes people enjoy, it's mutually beneficial in the sense that it's fun to be with the person. So the Rambam says that's an example of many people's marriage. Many people get married because it's fun to be together, but there's no other component to the marriage. Well, if that's the component, then what happens when it's no longer fun to be together? When there are three diapers waiting for me, and there's a lot of bills waiting for me, and a lot of yelling waiting for me, is that so much fun? How many people pack out when that happens? Then the Rambam says there's people who are friends because they like the confidence that they can have. And that is a component that most people never attain in their marriage. Most most people never allow their marriage to reach a point where they have real confidence in one another. Real confidence to the point where you can reveal your innermost secrets, where you can really let your guard down. Every person has parts of their personality, parts of their nefesh, which they'd love to share with someone else, which they feel like if other people knew, they wouldn't love me. And I'd love to tell someone, but then people enter marriage, and every so often, when we throw a hurtful line, or the spouse throws a hurtful line, you go into your shell a little bit. You tell yourself, I'm not going to tell. So for one person, it's the morning that he oversleeps and he doesn't make it to Minyan and he doesn't want his wife to know. So he's going to go to some back room and put on his towels and fill in and down because he doesn't want her to know. Wait a second, if we have a really good relationship, she doesn't have to know, but wouldn't I feel comfortable sharing with her my strengths and my weaknesses? And the answer is no. Most people go through life wishing they had a partner who they could share their weaknesses, their fears, their innermost personality with, and most people don't find it. And the reason is because we're so callous about saying hurtful things to one another. We think it's so easy to just say, you know, if you do the dishes at night, you wouldn't wake up the sink filled with dishes. If you pay attention to the gas, you wouldn't run out of gas. I said something practical. It's for her benefit. She doesn't like being in the middle of the highway and running out of gas. I was just saying something practical. It doesn't work that way. You said something which basically was saying, you're not good enough. You should be different. And whether we mean to say that way or not, that's the way it's heard by both parties. You're going to come home after doing a shop that took you 2 hours long and your wife is going to say, why'd you buy that type of margarine? And you're going to get so upset. Because you did all this work, and why is that is that the only thing she has to say? And she'll say, no, I meant to say thank you. I really appreciate it. But the margarine we don't use. It doesn't work well in the cooking. And you're going to be very upset by it. But you know what happens? These little lines, these little comments, make it so we don't have the confidence we should in one another. And there's another part, and that is we're very scared. We're not really accustomed to sharing all of ourselves with someone else, to being vulnerable to someone else. And so we never allow the relationship to reach that point. I recommend, after you're married for a few years, when the environment is positive and things are calm and happy between you, and there should be many such times in your married life, because as you learn and you adapt to one another, there should be more and more fun times and less difficult times. What happens in most marriages is that people don't learn, they repeat the same mistakes, they repeat the same arguments for 20 years running until they get fed up. It's not new arguments, it's the same arguments. I've asked you 1,000 times and he's not exaggerating, he's underestimating. He's asked her more than 1,000 times. And she's asked him, I've begged you not to come into Shabbos with the garbage is full. Haven't I begged you to please take out the garbage that we enter Shabbos and the garbage pails aren't full? So she's begged him, and he says, you know, I try, I forget. Doesn't matter what the argument's about. Everyone else's argument is petty. Mine is serious. That's the rule in life. When you listen to your neighbors, they're petty. We once had an apartment that was very uncomfortable because when you'd lie in bed at night, you could hear every other apartment. All the conversations in the buildings next to us, you could hear. And it was always a challenge. Do I keep the windows shut and suffocate in the summer? Do I open the windows and feel uncomfortable hearing every other couple's petty arguments? I would sometimes walk out in the morning with my head down. I didn't want to look at the people. Like, I felt so uncomfortable. You know, you try to tell people, you know, we can hear one another. Our windows are right next to one another, and they don't get it. But you know what? When you hear everyone else, they sound petty. But if they'd hear you, you'd also sound petty. And if you would hear you and you wouldn't be so partial, you'd also realize it was petty. I always joke that most couples sound like 2 4-year-olds. You did it. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Think about it. You will see. It's you'll see it on yourself. You'll see it on yourself and your own spouse. But if you're willing to learn and adapt, then as you evolve, things get better. And there are less of those and more positive moments. And then after 3 or 4 years, you should challenge yourself. Can I tell my spouse, I want to tell you something that I'm very sensitive about. And I just want to ask you not to laugh and not to say anything hurtful and even something slight, because it's very hard for me to share it with you. And be prepared. The first time you try doing this, she's going to say, don't tell me. I've been guessing all along. You have this fantasy that you're a rhinoceros. And you're going to be all hurt and you're not going to want to tell her because she's going to make a joke. So you'll wait and you'll calm down and you'll calm yourself. And after another month or two, you'll come back and you'll tell her, look, last time I tried telling you and you made a comment and I had a very hard time. I couldn't tell you of that, remember? So I want to share with you a little bit of who I am that I haven't yet shared with you. But I need to feel confident that you'll accept it and that you won't make fun of it. And you'll be surprised that you can do that. And then suddenly, when we no longer have skeletons and closets that are closed, then we've opened the gateways to what the Rambam writes, that third type of friendship, where there's confidence, where I can share anything with the other person and I'm not scared. We're out of time for this class, but on this point, don't misunderstand me. I do not mean to say that a chozer b'tshuva should come to his wife and tell her about all the previous girlfriends he had. But that's not included in this. It's not beneficial to the marriage. It's hurtful to the marriage. There's no reason you should go into those details. I'm talking about other areas of a person's personality. When it comes to previous relationships, that's usually best left not discussed in great detail. That's destructive. Yes?
Do you think a chozer b'tshuva can have like a platonic relationship with someone, like a girlfriend from the past, while he's married?
I addressed that a few weeks ago.